We are close to wrapping up our study in 2 Corinthians. We actually have one more after today, and that'll be in 2 weeks. And the title of our sermon series is, We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. In our passage this morning, we're going to be reminded of the importance of four main things. The first is self-reflection. The second, righteousness. Third, spiritual growth. And last, building up others in the faith. Our passage this morning calls us to live with integrity and to seek out the well-being of our fellow believers as we walk out our faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13? We'll be looking at verses 5 through 10. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 10. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? And I hope you will recognize that we ourselves do not fail the test, but we pray to God that you do nothing wrong, not that we may appear to pass the test, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear to fail. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. We also pray that you become fully mature. This is why I'm writing these things while absent, so that when I am there, I may not have to deal harshly with you, in keeping with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. As we see here, the Apostle Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Corinthians with a tone of authority and correction. Now, in order to better understand what Paul is saying here, we need to understand the main purposes of the letter he wrote to them, 2 Corinthians. It can be summarized as Paul's defense of his apostolic authority and ministry, as well as his encouragement and exhortation to the Corinthian church. This letter addresses various challenges faced by the church in Corinth, including divisions within the church, false teachings, and questions about the authenticity of Paul's apostleship. Okay, so now let's go back to verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? Now, some of the other Bible versions puts this verse this way. The Amplified Bible says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as counterfeit. Then the Living Bible puts it this way. Check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? And then the Message puts it this way. Test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Now, it appears that Paul was addressing the possibility that some in the Corinthian church were not genuine believers, even though they claimed to be. Here, Paul is challenging them to test whether they had ever truly been born again. Now, I've said this before, but there are three things that matter the most to me when it comes to all of us here at GBCC. The first is that we all spend eternity together in heaven. Then the second is that we see many come with us to heaven because of our witness and testimony for Jesus. And then the third, that we all hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when we stand before the Lord to give account of our lives. This is one reason I end almost every sermon with two things. First, with the gospel and an opportunity to receive Christ. But then second, with an encouragement to us as believers to live our lives for Jesus, doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. So for us today, we who profess Christ as Savior should examine ourselves to be sure we really are Christians. But let me also say this. Doubts about one's salvation are not wrong as long as they're not nursed and allowed to become an obsession. See, the goal is not to cause you to live in doubt. The goal is to give you assurance of your salvation, that it is a true conversion. You know, it's important to understand that salvation is not about sinlessness. Salvation is first about what you believe. That you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and trust that His death and resurrection have saved you from your sins. But then the real test Paul seems to be talking about is your life. Again, it's not about perfection. But let me just give you four questions to help you as you reflect, as you look at your life. First, is your view of life different since you've been saved? See, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you start seeing things and your life from a different perspective. And the second question, do you want to live your life for Jesus? Is it only about what you want? Or are you concerned about what Jesus wants? Third, do you have a desire to know, love, and obey God? And then fourth, are you convicted of your sin and desire to turn from it? Now let me just end with this. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you, and you will see changes in your life. So can I encourage you just to ask yourself this one question? Am I living what I say I believe? Then next we see in verse 6, and I hope you will recognize that we ourselves do not fail the test. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, but I hope you will acknowledge that we do not fail the test, nor are we to be rejected. Paul is asking them if they have seen that his message and his life has lined up. Has he practiced what he preached? But you know, he's saying it in such a way that says that he knows what their answer should be. The NASB actually says it that way. But I expect that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. But I want you to notice one thing. If we go back to the Amplified Bible, he ends with saying, nor are we to be rejected. Now, there are a few things this rejection could be about. First, it could be about the gospel he preaches. His message could be rejected. For us, an inconsistent lifestyle can make it difficult for people to believe in the message of transformation and hope that we claim to share. As our actions contradict our words. While the message itself is still true, a life that doesn't reflect it can make our witnesses ineffective and even damage the reputation of Christianity. Now, let me just say one more thing about this. The Bible teaches that living a Christian life is not possible in our own strength, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Living the Christian life is more about our communicating with the Holy Spirit and yielding to Him instead of trying to do it on our own. Folks, it's about trusting and obeying. So I said, there are a few things this rejection could be about. First, the gospel he preaches. His message could be rejected. But then second, as we see the New Living Translation, we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. As I said in the beginning of this message, there were false teachers Paul calls them false apostles that question the authenticity of Paul's leadership, his apostleship, but also as a good leader. You know, it's interesting as we look at a good leader, especially one in the church, such as an elder, that Paul provides what it looks like to be a good leader in both Timothy and Titus, where he gives the qualifications of an elder. Now, let me just zip down through some of them so you get an idea of what to look for in a good leader. First, Paul says he must be above reproach, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. He talks about what he's not to be, and he says he's not to be arrogant, quick-tempered, a drunkard, violent, greedy for gain. But then also he must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word. Again, these are the things that make a great leader. Then next in verse 7 we see, "But we pray to God that you do nothing wrong, not that we may appear to pass the test, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear to fail." Now, the Amplified Bible puts it this way: "But I pray to God that you may do nothing wrong, not so that we in our teaching may appear to be approved, but that you may continue doing what is right, even though we, by comparison, may seem to have failed." And then the Living Bible puts it this way: "I pray that you will live good lives, not because that will be a feather in our caps, proving that what we teach is right. No, for we want you to do what is right, even if we ourselves are despised." One Bible commentator says this: "Paul does not pray this in order that he himself might not appear approved or might be seen in a better light. He does not want them to do it simply because he could then point to their obedience as an evidence of his authority. He wants them to do it because it is right and honest. And he would rather have them do that, even though it meant that he might seem disqualified." You know, as we see here, Paul's real aim was the spiritual development of the Corinthians themselves, regardless of what it may have implied for Paul. He was quite willing to appear less lordly if it meant that the Corinthians were progressing in their spiritual growth. Paul's goal was to see fruitfulness in the lives of the Corinthians. You know, folks, fruitfulness is all about doing what God wants us to do and say. It's not about us. It's about God working in and through us to produce fruit. The more we realize that it is God who produces the fruit and that it isn't all about us, the more fruitful we will be. Next in verse 8, we see, "For we can't do anything against the truth, but only for the truth." Now notice that he begins with the word "for." This indicates that there's a close logical connection with what precedes. As we saw, Paul's prayer was that they would not do what is wrong, but would do what is right. Because when he comes, if he finds them not doing what is right, he can't go against the truth and condone it. He would have to speak the truth. Folks, this applies to us today. And actually, there are two things. First, we must not be so timid as to shrink from openly imposing church discipline when circumstances demand it. But at the same time, we must always remember that we do it in love. The purpose of church discipline is to bring about repentance. It's always to be done for the eternal best interest of the person being disciplined and the church body. But also, second, we need to stand up against what is wrong. Abortion, the murder of babies, is wrong. Sexual immorality, such as homosexuality and transgender, is wrong. Folks, as followers of Jesus, we need to be biblical in our worldview. Okay, next, in verse 9, Paul says, "We rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. We also pray that you become fully mature." Now, there's two things here. First, we see that Paul would rejoice when the Corinthian church was spiritually healthy. This idea of them being strong was in the sense of spiritual maturity and in dealing with sin and rejecting false teachers. Then the idea of weakness, Paul was happy to desist from displays of strong authority. Paul would far rather be weak in the sense of failing to exercise his apostolic power because they did the right thing. But then second, we see a second time what he prays for them. We saw back in verse 7 that it was for them to not do what was wrong, but to do what was right. Here in verse 9, he prays that they would become fully mature. Now, the Amplified puts this way. "We pray for this, that you may be made complete, fully restored, growing and maturing in godly character and spirit, pleasing your heavenly Father by the life you live." What a great way of thinking about restoration of a person who has gone astray from the faith. This is what it looks like for a repentant person, fully restored, growing and maturing in godly character and spirit, pleasing their heavenly Father by the life they live. Then in our last verse, verse 10, Paul says, "This is why I'm writing these things while absent, so that when I am there, I may not have to deal harshly with you in keeping with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down." We see Paul's desire here, that they take care of the issues before he comes. Although he'll do it if necessary, he wants to be able to come with them with encouragement instead of strong reprimands. Now, as we wrap up, just like you take notice of that last phrase, he says, "with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down." This idea of building up people is a common theme used by Paul in various letters that he wrote to the church. It was something that he really focused on and saw that it was so important for churches to be building each other up and not tearing each other down. In closing this morning, can I ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes as we reflect on our time together? This morning we talked about what salvation is. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, and was resurrected from the dead so that we can have forgiveness of all of our sins, have a relationship with God right now, and an eternal home in heaven. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins? You see your need for Jesus as your Savior from your sins? If this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, "God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life." Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Have you been living what you say you believe? Or maybe you need to stand up against what is wrong. Folks, whatever is going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.